I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Lunda.
And we're Two Peas in a Podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, December 4th, 2017.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We were out last week, but we're back.
We are. We're back and a little healthier.
I guess you were ill, were you?
I was, yeah.
I cut myself a couple weeks ago, and that's healing. So I'm on
the mend.
What
were you trying to do?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is I tweeted about this a few weeks before, saying never be a hero by trying to cut a frozen bagel.
And oh,
God. That's how it happened. I was cutting a frozen bagel, and the thing slid. It was a serrated knife, so it was...
What were you thinking? Couldn't you wait? Like, what was the rush?
I had very little time, and so...
Jesus.
So I lost a lot of blood, and then I fainted, and then
exactly.
The ambulance came, and then...
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you really serious right now?
Yeah, no, I am as serious as a cut on my finger, yeah.
You fainted and the ambulance had to come?
Yeah.
How much blood did you lose?
It was about one bath towel.
No.
Yeah.
You give me a break right now.
Yeah.
A small bath towel or a body towel?
A small bath towel, not a body towel, no.
Oh,
like when you wrap yourself on the beach? No, not that big, no.
Okay, well... Come on now.
Yeah.
I don't know. What the hell? Did you get stitches? Like,
no, there was a flap of skin that was real. And it was and I guess that's what did it for me.
You saw that and you just collapsed.
Well, no, it was also very painful, too.
I mean, the pain is one thing, but
yeah.
I mean, honestly, if I saw that, I'd probably collapse.
Well, they took my blood pressure, and it was like 90 over 70. So it dropped just as I did. You know, I could... fell
it
to the
was,
ground and just, yeah.
Okay, so, that's pretty severe.
Yeah.
Okay,
I guess
so
this is a contest as to who's more sick than the other.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, then I guess you were pretty out of commission too last week then. You were messed
no,
up.
This was a couple of weeks ago. This was,
okay.
Yeah. No, I talked to you after that. So, you know, I you know, good soldier.
Yeah, you are. You're a real trooper there.
But you know what's
right through.
But what's really annoying is I get off work at 11, and so I've got, you know, I usually run my errands. I go to the Shoppers Drug Mart if I need
right.
something, or go to the 7-Eleven, where I want to go check my lotto tickets. I've got a stack in my pocket, my jacket pocket, of like 8 lotto tickets, unchecked. I could be
eight.
Like a millionaire, but not know. But so you go into the 7-Eleven, the one
right.
here at Fraser and King Edward,
right?
And you go to the little machine, you know, that you can check yourself, and it says unavailable. So then the guy who's behind the counter, he sort of got I got his attention, and I said, you know, he says, no, after 11, they don't, because I was either going to use the machine or go to him and check it, but he says his machine's off at 11, so.
That's weird.
Yeah, I wonder why.
I've never heard of that.
I wonder if it's just that 7-Eleven or...
Or if that's like a thing.
Yeah, well, I doubt it to be just a thing. I mean, you probably could get them like at Shoppers Drug Mart or something, couldn't you?
Well,
I would think.
Like, even the Shoppers near my house closes at like 11.
Yeah, the one in the Kingsgate Mall is open till midnight. I've never really had to check my lotto there. And then there's a 24-hours one at Broadway.
I'm going to ask them at the Chevron across the street one day if that's like a lotto thing, or who knows?
And I did. People might think, listening to us, that I'm some degenerate gambler, that I need my...
Not that gamblers are degenerate.
Most are, aren't they?
I don't know.
Oh, especially, I think, if you're jonesing for a lotto ticket at 11, you probably have a problem. I mean, I buy a lotto... Like, I remember I had Waste and Choi on the show once, and he said, you know, if the jackpot is like 20 million or 10
right.
million or more, he
right.
says, you know, it's only $2 to daydream.
I guess so.
And so what I do is I buy the what do you call that, the mini dip, which is $5.
Right.
And you get your one line of the 649, the BC49, and then the extra. And then that covers your for the one
yeah,
draw.
I'm not a good lotto buyer. I've been watching my grandparents do it for years, but I still never know like how to do the thing.
Yeah,
when
do
I
they,
go there.
When they well so they buy it regularly. They have their forms and their cards or whatever, and then
they go. They have a
yeah.
little a little folder that they keep their stuff in.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Do they pick their own numbers, or do they get, like, I always get the quick pick because I don't really have numbers that I...
I think they have some sort of algorithm that they use. I think, you know, sometimes they do the quick pick. Most times they have their numbers. But I know Grandma always says that, you know, they've been playing the same numbers for years in their trash. So.
Do you know what numbers they are? Like, are they like the birthdays or something like that?
Yeah, I think they're birthdays. And, you know, as more children have been added, I wonder who gets taken out of the mix, you know.
It's probably their birthdays, right?
Yeah.
The month, day, year, and things like that.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know, but for the most part, yeah, I'm not good at that stuff. And you know, when you said jonesing for a six, actually, earlier, not earlier, was it yesterday when I went to the Chevron next door?
Yeah.
This man went in, literally cashed in all his tickets.
Yeah.
He won like $3, $4, like little bits here and there. And then paid for his gas, and then bought another scratch ticket, and just scratched off the barcode.
Yeah,
and
see, I don't know. It. I mean,
I was like, wow, that I talk about it, but that like literally takes out all the fun of buying scratch tickets.
Yeah, because you want to see all the numbers as they come up.
Well, yeah,
right?
And he didn't even get like a, you know, it wasn't even like a $1 scratch ticket. It was one of those $5 like.
Yeah.
DC 49 tickets. Like,
there's
those,
no fun. There's no fun in that anymore.
No, when I buy those, you know, I'm taking those home to like sit down and have a nice relaxing evening, scratch my ticket, you know, like that's enjoyable for me. I'm not going to scratch the thing right there and like have them check the barcode. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That is no fun anymore.
And sometimes I forget to buy the tickets as well. So sometimes that's why there can be six or seven in my pocket at the moment is because
well,
those go back 2 months at least. You know, and I don't buy them every week because I only buy them if I happen to be. Like, that, you know those booths, those lotto booths at Kingsgate Mall?
Yeah.
Those seem like, I like the people, they're very friendly. So that's why I like going there and give them my $5 and say get a mini dip. But if I'm in a, like a Safeway, like I was in a Save on Foods on the weekend, you can buy them right off the machine there.
That's true. Yeah,
I mean, I'd never bought anything from there because it seems.
I should try that one day.
It seems impersonal if you ask me.
I don't mind being impersonal. I don't like being personable sometimes.
Yeah. So what would if you had numbers? I mean, I always go with a quick pick. Some people say you have to pick, you know, your birthday and things like that. But I mean, I guess if you talk to someone who knows numbers, they say that the chances are the same whether they're randomly selected for you by the machine or things that you pick yourself.
Yeah, I haven't done, like, I don't know. I'm not that much of a gambler, so I don't know what the... I would just pick birthdays.
Yeah, see, I mean, what's to stop me from picking, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
Nothing at all.
But, I mean, the chances of that coming up are probably... Well, I don't know. They're probably the same as, you know, whatever was drawn on Saturday.
Well, it's probably going to be trash. Like, your chances are probably going to be trash. But, you know... It's a chance, right?
Yeah. The other thing is, you see, like, what's the one in the States all the time, the one that's like $100 million?
Ooh, the Powerball.
Yeah, Powerball. I mean, you would never get the winning Powerball numbers and then use those, would you? Because those have already been drawn, right? The chances of, say, the 649 in Canada being the same numbers as the Powerball are probably slim.
You never know. Who knows? Like, God, I would still try it.
Well, there you go. You can go to the Chevron, and then you can, tomorrow night at 11, and you can get
see if I can get a lotto ticket.
Yeah, you get the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You can waste your money on that trash. Well, I'm gonna be picking some real numbers, thank you.
See, I don't have any lucky numbers. I mean, my birthday, I mean, it's just my birthday. It's never factored anywhere else in my life other than that.
I guess so.
Like some people, you know, like Barbara Streisand, for example. I don't know why I thought of this. Her she was born on a certain, I can't remember the number now. She was born on a certain day, and she gave birth that year.
Mm-hmm.
She was that old, I should say, when she gave birth to her son. In one of her famous movies, there's a scene a memorable scene where it was a tugboat, and that was the number of the tugboat. And so I guess for her, she plays that in the lotto every week.
She probably does.
If it comes up in different times, you know, different times of her life, that I guess it becomes meaningful. I just don't have those numbers in my life, I don't think.
You need to think about that a little more.
Yeah.
Well, I need to think about that a little more.
Yeah. You posted something on Facebook recently that I thought was interesting about an incident that you got into. And that's one of the things we've talked about over the years since, you know, two and a half years now that we've been doing this. Race and how we view race or how, I guess, we encounter race in our daily lives.
Right. No, it was totally weird. And like, you know, you never really expect these things, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it caught me off guard. And I mean, that whole week I was just kind of, and lately I've just been kind of in this mood of like, you know, really not caring about things that don't require my attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so initially, you know, I walk into this class, it was a training session, and this girl, I maybe spoke like literally maybe 30 seconds to her. We just had a very brief interaction. And as soon as I sat down, she's like, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Vancouver. And she was like, really? Like, looked at me as if I was lying.
Huh.
And I said, yeah, I was born and raised in East Vancouver at that. So I'm pretty Vancouver. Like, I'm as Vancouver as it gets.
Yeah.
I really don't know how else to put that. And she's like, wow, because, like, I came here and I was like, I never see black people here. And I was like, wow. And I was like, okay. And I just didn't even know, like, how to respond to her.
And she wasn't, she wasn't angry or rude. She was, like, well-meaning, right?
She wasn't angry or rude. It seemed like she was well-meaning. She was just like, you know, I just, when I saw you come in, I was just like, what? Like, there's a black girl here. Like, oh, my God. And it's like, wow. You know, I don't know. I still have mixed feelings about it, you know? Like, I'm not an endangered species.
Hey, did you find out what her deal was, like where she was from or whatever? Did that?
Oh, well, I mean, later, and it's funny because when you say that now, it's like, did I find out what her deal was? To be honest, at first, I didn't really give a shit.
Yeah.
She was a white girl in this class, and I just thought,
Was she older or younger?
No, she was younger, too.
Yeah, see, that could factor into it because she doesn't have world experience.
Maybe she doesn't have world experience, but this is the part that blows my mind is that, you know, we have such a push on, if anything, she is the group that the messaging is for.
Mm.
She's the group that the messaging should be directed to, right? Our young white freedom fighters that want to be allies in the race, in this protest that we have. And then to say something so ignorant to that, it's just like, okay, so clearly the messaging is not getting through to your group of people, the ones that clearly I feel need it the most.
But I mean,
you're still not understanding.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's where I my view of it. I mean, if I ran into somebody at a meeting and I was sitting next to someone from Mongolia or from Peru or from Iceland, I mean, I would probably say the same, like, oh, I've never met anyone from Iceland before. I never met anyone from Mongolia before.
Right.
So, I mean, is that the same thing?
No, see, and I've thought about many scenarios, and it's like, you know, and I wasn't even mad. I wasn't even mad at her. Like, I wasn't pissed off, like, oh, my God, I want to beat her up. Like, that was so racist.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even think of it like that. It was really, I found that more, other people were more upset and found it more racist. And
well, you had a lot of comments on your page, right? On your
Facebook. Were a lot of comments. I just had really mixed feelings about it. Honestly, and I just felt like I was put in a position where, like, I couldn't really have a comeback for her at that
shocked?
Very moment.
Were
you
shocked?
Shocked and just kind of, like I said, completely, like, taken off guard,
yeah.
right? How do you even respond to that, something like that, at a flash moment? How do you respond to that?
Well, see, you could look at it two ways now. You could say, yeah, you should be shocked because you can't believe that someone would say that to you. Who doesn't have, say, the knowledge or the manners even to say that to you. Or
right. You
could say you're probably lucky that that's not something you encounter every day and that you just take it for granted now. That, oh, yeah, so some guy said this to me again.
Well, you know that's what I mean? The thing. It doesn't happen every day, but it happens enough. I mean, you'd be surprised. If I actually wrote down some of the shit people said to me, it would be... It's actually pretty ridiculous. It's pretty ridiculous the things people will say to you when they either feel comfortable or just are ignorant.
So then where do you think that comes from? Do you think it comes from a lack of experience with other people?
Straight, absolute ignorance. I had somebody once actually say some really stupid, very ignorant, racially ignorant shit to me at work, and then 2 years later, oh, not much later, just recently, she's now had a problem at work with somebody basically implying, because her and another group of, like, people of her color were all sisters, and somebody, a white girl, said it to her, so she was all offended, and, I was, as a steward, I was helping her with this issue. And then I just remembered how years ago she said something to me that was just equally as ignorant. And it's like, I don't know if people are just not aware of, like, what they say and how it comes across to others.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I definitely think that that's the case. I mean, we're seeing that on the larger scale, socially, that words matter. And if you're, you're the president of the United States, your words matter a lot more. And I think that's what a lot of people don't realize is that they get away with saying a lot of things that they just think is nothing. But, it does matter to somebody else, especially if they're directed to somebody else.
For sure.
I mean, I have friends that I don't, speak to because I they say idiotic things.
Right.
So,
and
I mean.
We talked about that. I know.
Yeah, so I mean, you do at some point have to take a stand and say, it's not going to be part of this conversation, right?
Well, exactly, and just end that right there. But no, to this girl, I did later find out she was Jewish. Mm-hmm. She was a Jewish girl, and I was like, well, okay.
Did you bring up the fact that she'd said something years before?
No, to this other woman at work.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I left that.
But see, here's another example of you remembered it after so long. And then I hear this all the time, especially in the light of the Cosby thing, the Matt Lauer thing, these people come back and they say, oh, yeah, something did happen. And then people blame them by saying, hey,
exactly.
Why didn't you say anything before? But, I mean, it happens all the time. I mean... you'll mention somebody that we knew from, say, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be like, I forgot to tell you.
Right.
Before we started taping, you mentioned something about someone that you'd encountered, right? Who you had meant to tell me about, but had forgotten. Our memories are often tested.
Well, we suppress them.
Yeah.
And... if they're not something that are at the forefront of your head every day, because that's not something you'd want to keep at the forefront of your memory every day.
Not at all.
Then, of course, you're gonna forget it until something else triggers that memory again.
Sure, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've had many of those instances.
Yeah.
Actually, I just remembered something real quickly.
I'm
going to have to go off course for a second, because I just remembered a situation I had the other day at McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
So... I went in there real quick in the morning before work to get myself a peppermint tea, like I do most mornings. This was the McDonald's in New Westminster.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of older people go there. And I come in, and there's this older gentleman, like, just berating and being so rude to the staff behind the counter. And so I'm just kind of watching him and meanwhile, ordering my tea. Like, I couldn't even focus. And the girl that was taking my order, she couldn't focus either because she was watching what this guy was doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so she says to me, oh, he's so rude. And I was like, does he come in here often?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't go there every day, but yeah. I go there in the mornings. And for the most part, you see the same, like, elderly people there every morning.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, yeah.
I'd never seen him before. So she said that it was the first time that she'd seen him, but she hasn't been there for long.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl that he was yelling at, she was clearly new, and she spoke with a bit of an accent. Like, she was clearly, mm-hmm. like, you know, not, English was not her first language.
Right.
And I heard somebody else behind the counter say to him, like, you know, sir, can you just please give her a break? You know, she's still learning, and she doesn't speak English very well.
Yeah.
And the man, he says back to this kid, he goes, oh, don't get loud with me or I'll take you outside.
Mm.
And so I looked at him like, are you kidding me? And he's getting his food and he's still cussing out these kids. So finally I said to him, I've had enough. Okay. I looked at him and I said, you can't talk to people like that. And he was like, oh, what? And I said, you cannot talk to people like that are serving you.
Yeah.
And he says, well, what does this have to do with you anyway?
Mm.
I'm like, I'm a customer here, and unfortunately, I've had to listen to you be disgustingly rude to these people that are serving you breakfast.
Mm.
So now you've involved me, unfortunately. And he's like, oh, it's not your problem. I said, no, you're lucky it's not, because it'd be a very different situation. I'll tell you right now, that man would not be eating his breakfast. Not at McDonald's.
You'd have gone outside with him?
Well, you know, if this were me 20 years ago when I was a teenager working at McDonald's,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how that would have happened, you know?
So what happened after? Did you get a free peppermint tea as a result of
No, I already paid for my tea.
Oh, okay.
I already paid for my tea. And you know, I think, you know, it was just maybe one or two of them that saw me do it. But that's not why I was doing it. Just really the principle is And he said to the kid, too, you're lucky to even have a job here. I think that's what triggered me.
Oh.
And I think, you know, that's extremely demeaning.
Yeah,
and,
that's, what do they call that? That's dog whistle, or that's...
it's just rude.
Coded, right?
It's just rude. And he's trying to bait him.
Yeah.
He's trying to now, like, get this kid wound up so he maybe does say something.
Yeah.
And then he'll have something to complain about, and that's not fair. And it's just rude.
Yeah, well, see, you know? Here's the problem. If he does complain, the manager's going to take his side probably, right?
Well, you know what? I would hope that the manager at least would know that the employees he has are good workers, because I've seen them deal with some really ridiculous situations.
Yeah.
And that he would at least consider his employees' side of the story.
Yeah.
Because this man was completely out of line.
Huh.
And extremely, like... I would have had a hard time serving him.
Yeah. Well.
Just a little lesson there.
Well, you know, if it was like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode, the people should applaud, you know, like they applaud Larry.
Well, they should have. I felt like I should have had an applaud. I really did. I honestly felt like, you know, I had my own applaud anyway, like in my own head.
I had
my own cheering section. I was like, I should post this on Facebook. But I was like, no, you know what? I feel like, I just feel good knowing that I did that in itself. Like, you know.
You stood up for the kid. Yeah, that was behind the counter.
Well, you know, I've worked at McDonald's, and also it's not easy being a fast food service worker.
Is it fun working at McDonald's?
It's not fun. It's fun being with your friends working at McDonald's.
I guess so, yeah.
You know, but if you don't have any friends there, then it's not, that's not fun at all. But at that age, you know, you want friends everywhere.
Yeah, it seems like when I go to McDonald's or go to Costco, they seem like they're enjoying
very
their work.
Families.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do, you know, just like, you know, we do. I mean, you must have fun with your friends at work for the most part.
You know, and I'm not lending them money, probably.
That's
another story that we can get into next week.
That's a whole other segment we can have next week.
Yeah.
Friends and money, not things not to do if you want your friendships to last.
And, you know, you're told that at a young age, or when you, you know, whatever age you are when you start.
There's some people you can do it with, you know.
Yeah, there are, but I mean, it's just you're warned against that by everybody.
You are,
and then
and
then you eventually get screwed by it. You know, but
it's true. From most situations that I've seen, I've never seen anything really good come of friends and money.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it next week, probably, won't we?
It's it's definitely something we could do a full show on.
I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, definitely. That's Two Peas in a Podcast from Monday, December 4th.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back.